All right, I want you to turn in your Bible tonight to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, chapter 37. Psalm chapter number 37. I don't know how much you've noticed or paid attention to any of this tonight, but our nation, our world as a whole seems to be in a state of confusion and fear. There's hatred mixed in with everything. I mean, my goodness, what a mess we've got. Yeah. We've got a mess. And people all around us seem to be afraid of everything, it seemed like. They're afraid of offending somebody if they say something, if they speak truth. They're afraid of offending somebody. They're afraid of driving down the road, getting road rage with somebody, passing them or whatever. And just incidents happening all around us. And it seemed like folks are worried about getting a new strand of COVID now. I heard the other day, man, that somebody had COVID and they were all worried about it and things like that. And they're just worried. The news does not make anything good, it seems like, on the news if you watch it. I stopped watching the news a long time ago. And I stopped watching the weather. They couldn't even get it right. So I just go outside and look. If it's raining, I grab an umbrella. If it's not, I just go on and praise God for it. Amen. But, folks are worried about things. They're worried about things in our world, China, North Korea, Russia, all this stuff going on in our world today. The Middle East crisis. Folks are just worried about everything that's going on in the Middle East. And you know what? God's got everything under control, folks. God's got everything in control. People are asking, but preacher, why is the Lord letting all these things happen? And preacher, why doesn't the Lord Jesus just come on back and take us all out of this mess? You know, I hear this all the time. I know pastor hears it all the time. Preacher, do you think that we're living in the tribulation period already? No, I don't. There's not going to be anything like that going on during the tribulation period. It's going to be a lot worse than what it is now. And folks, you think about this. When we are taken out, when the church, the body of Christ is taken out of here, the Holy Spirit of God goes with us. And can you imagine? We're seeing the things happening today with the Holy Spirit of God in this world. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when he's taken out of here? My goodness, what a mess it's going to be. But you know, I get to the point that I just have to tell folks, listen, you just need to calm down and trust the Lord. Get in the Word of God. Let the Word of God get in you. And, you know, just calm down. God is still in control of things. The Holy Spirit of God had the Apostle Paul write to God's people about this very thing. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, he said this. He reminded us, he said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And I think that we're seeing that happen today. I believe with all my heart. The Holy Spirit of God told us these things. And remember this, folks, some 2,000 years ago, as the Holy Spirit of God had Paul write these things, he and the other people then thought they were living in those last days. And here we are 2,000 years later, and we're seeing things get worse and worse and worse. And you know what? Jesus is still on the throne. And he's still in control of things. And there is a time that God is going to say, hey, you know what? Enough is enough. And he'll take care of things. But until that day, you and I are to be found faithful. We're to be found faithful. If you go back and think about it just a moment, in Noah's day, back in the book of Genesis, I was reading this the other day, the book of Genesis chapter 6, the Bible said, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now let's stop right there just a moment. And let's consider this. Let me ask you this question. What has changed in men's hearts from Noah's day to our day? We're still living in sin, are we not? We're still, all these things are still happening. Has anything changed? No. But you know what? The Bible said that God, men's hearts are headed in the same direction as it was in Noah's day. And buddy, if God got sick of it in Noah's day, and he's not gotten that sick of it yet to call us out of here, well, how bad must it really going to be before the Lord Jesus comes back? And that's why you and I need to be found faithful. We've got to be found faithful. The Bible said here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul went on to remind the folks, and he reminded Timothy. He said, Timothy, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Are we seeing that today? I believe we are. We're seeing that very same thing. He said, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know what? All of those things sound just like what's happening in our world today. Men's hearts have not changed. Men's hearts are just as wicked now as they were then. But folks, I want you to understand something tonight. God still has a plan. And he is working that plan. And he said to us that it would be like this before he came back again. And what we've got to do is just remember that God is faithful to his word. God is faithful to his word. I want you to look at something here with me tonight. In the book of Psalm, chapter number 37. We need to just be found faithful to do what God has saved us to do. We need to be found faithful to have and take the opportunity to get the gospel to everyone that we can while we can. Listen, over 200 young people came to Vacation Bible School and Teen Revival last week. You think about that. They heard the message of the Word of God. They saw people that loved them and cared for them and wanted to give them something that was real. And 30-some children, teenagers, young people, turned to Christ. They accepted Christ as their Savior. What a blessing that is. We ought to be excited about those things. But what do? We get all fretted out and worried about all this stuff that's happening. The announcements today, you know, about our president and everything else. Listen, God's got a plan. God's got a plan. And the real problem is with God's people being so involved and so just flooded in the things of this world that they forget about the things of God. They forget that God has a plan. They forget that God's in control of things. And listen, he's going to make all things right. But we got to trust him. We got to believe his word. And we got to know that what God says he will do, he's going to do it. And here in Psalm chapter 37, the Old Testament book of Psalms, chapter number 37, one of my favorite psalms. And I just want to title the message this evening to you tonight as we look at this chapter. I just want to entitle it as this: fret not. Fret not. Don't get worried. Don't get discouraged. Don't fret. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Fret not. Look at it here with me tonight. Psalm chapter 37. I want you to see the command that is seen in the first three verses here. The command that God gives unto us. He said in Psalm chapter 37, verses 1 through 3, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now, I want you to look at this command tonight. I want you to look and see what the Lord has commanded us to do. When everything around us is going kind of helter-skelter, and everyone around us seems to be hateful and vengeful and just wanting to downright be ornery about things. Listen, what are we supposed to do? Well, he tells us here, he says, fret not. Fret not. Don't be afraid of what's happening. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Quite honestly, they're always going to be around. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, there are going to be evildoers everywhere. Everywhere you go. They're at work. They're at the grocery store. They're at the gas pump. They probably delivering your newspaper to your door. Everything, they're there. And they're always going to be around. Fret not because of the evildoers that come your way. And fret not because of the workers of iniquity that are always bragging about their sin. They're bragging about their sin. You've spent a week, last week, I thought about all the workers. Many of our workers in Bible school worked a full-time job during the day, rushed home, maybe to change clothes or get a quick snack and then rush back over here to church, stayed until late. The Bible school didn't finish up until about 9 o'clock, and then by the time buses get back out and take folks home and get back, some of these folks were out till after 11 o'clock at night, and they did it every night, and they did it faithfully. Why? Because they knew that God was faithful. And you know what? They put forth the effort. They didn't stop doing what they're doing just because they were tired. They didn't stop what they were doing for God because they were, you know, just exhausted by the end of the week. They kept doing it because they knew that what they were doing, God would bless it. And folks, that's why you and I need to be found faithful today. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't be envious of those that are doing sinful things around us. I remember my son. Let's start when he was small. A neighbor got a boat. He got a boat. He'd gone fishing. And Stephen said, well, Daddy, why don't we get a boat? And I said, well, buddy, when would we be able to use it? Well, he uses his on the weekend. We could go fishing on the weekend, and we could just have a good time. I said, yeah, you know, I guess that means we'd have to give up the bus route, and we wouldn't be able to go back to Sunday school. We wouldn't be there for church service on Sunday morning, and probably wouldn't be there on Sunday night because it'd be late getting back. We'd be tired. And he kind of, okay, Daddy, I guess we won't get a boat. You know, I mean, he said it like he was really discouraged because he didn't get a boat. But you know, here's the thing. The world today wants to brag about sin. They don't worry about standing before God. They don't worry about doing anything else except what they want to do. They think the Lord's day is their extra day, and then they can do anything else they want to do. Right. Folks, listen, those folks are always going to be around us. But we've been given a commandment. We've been given a command, and that is to fret not thyself because of evildoers. We're given a commandment in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, to be different from the world. To be different from the world. You know what? Light and darkness are two different things. Did you know that? You get up in the middle of the night, turn the light on, and then all of a sudden the power goes out. And you're walking through the house, and the first thing you do, the lights go out, and you stump your toe. And man, you're trying to find something to lean up against and hold your toe and all this other stuff. Why? Because there is a difference between darkness and light. There's a difference. The very first thing that God did when he created the heaven and the earth, he put a distinction, a difference between darkness and light. He separated the two. He separated them. And the Bible talks here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. He said, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We're to be like Christ. And we have a command not to fret because of evildoers, because one day our Lord is going to take care of that crowd for us, and the battle is the Lord's. It's not ours. It's his, and he will fight that battle for us. Our job is to remain faithful. Somebody asked me today if I need some help mowing my grass this next week. And I told him, I said, no. I mean, I know the grass is getting taller and the weeds are coming up above the grass. The weeds are the only thing that will grow in the heat like this, okay? They're really the only thing that will grow real good. But you know what? If I know right now that if I go and I mow my yard, I'm not going to just mow down the weeds that are pesky looking, but I'm going to mess up my yard too. And the grass, when I mow the weeds and the grass, it's going to probably kill the grass because of the heat and because of all the things that's going on. So right now, they're just growing along together. And they're going to grow until we get some rain. And then when we get some rain, then we'll worry about mowing the yard. But listen, right now, goodness is growing right out along with the evil. And your goodness and your willingness to go out and tell folks about Christ is going to be right there in the midst of those folks that are still trying to run God down and run our country down and run everything down, run the church down. They're all going to grow together, but one day God's going to take care of all of it. And He's going to separate the two. And He's the one that can do that. So I'll just wait for the right time to go out and mow my yard. And I'm going to wait for God to do what He's going to do. And He'll take vengeance on those that are evil. You and I just need to be willing to stay faithful to do what He has commanded us to do. Look what He said. He said, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Well, God's going to take care of business, is He not? But listen, we've not only got a command to do this and to fret not, but we've got a command to simply trust in the Lord and do good. We've got a job to do, and that is to do good. Now think about it, child of God. That word trust, it basically means to have full confidence in one. To rest and to rely upon one fully and without doubt. Why? Why can we do that? How can we do that tonight? Turn over to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, just a moment. Look at this verse, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. I want you to see something here. Fear is a dangerous thing. But the Bible said here, "The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Amen. You know what? We've got to put our trust in God. He's in control of this world. He's in control of all the things around us. David proclaimed over in 2 Samuel chapter 22. He said this. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." Well, when we put our faith and trust in God, He takes care of the rest. We've been commanded to trust the Lord and do good. Nobody that I know has ever suffered as God's servant, Job. God allowed Job to suffer and to go through some trials and temptations and heartaches like no other man I know of, either in the Bible or in life here today. But let me tell you what Job said about this. In Job chapter 13, verse 15, he made this declaration. While in the midst of his troubles, he looked up at those around him and he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in Him. But I will maintain mine own ways before Him." When he was tempted to curse God and just die, Job said, "Hey, no, I'm not changing my trust. I'm not changing the place that I put my trust in. I'm going to trust the Lord and He'll take care of me." David again wrote in Psalm chapter 18, verse 2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And in Psalm 55, 23, he wrote this, "But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee." Folks, listen, we've been given a command to trust the Lord and to do good. David also wrote this, and oftentimes this verse comes to my heart. When I'm afraid, when I'm fearful of the things that are going on around me, when I worry about things that perhaps I ought not even worry about. He wrote this in Psalm chapter 56, verse 3. And he said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Let me ask you something tonight, dear child of God. Are you trusting in the rock of your salvation tonight? Are you fully trusting him tonight? Listen to me. Are you trusting in the fortress of Jesus Christ that can never be entered into by the enemy or destroyed? Listen, he is our rock. He is our fortress. He is our place of refuge tonight. Are you relying upon the one who has delivered you from all of your sin? Well, I just don't know if God can take care of this or not. Listen, if he was able to save your soul, he's able to take care of you after he saves you. Amen? He's able to do that tonight. Then fret not and simply trust him enough to do what we're supposed to do for him, no matter what the devil may throw your way or bring into your path. Now, the question is, why? Why should we do that? Let me tell you why. It's because we have a command to trust in the Lord and to do good. We've got a command from him. What does it mean to trust the Lord and to do good? What does it truly mean? It simply means to rely upon him, to put all of your confidence in him and then obey him in all that you do. Many times we say we're going to trust God, but then we fail to obey him. And you know, it's like the song that we sing, "Trust and Obey." For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obedience go together. They walk hand in hand. If we trust God, we can be confident to know that we can also obey God in what he asks us to do. The Apostle Paul put it this way to his dear son in the faith, young Timothy. And he said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. He said, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Let folks know that what you say you believe, you really do believe. That's what he's saying. We got to put our money where our mouth is. Amen. Child of God, listen. The Bible still says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. He said, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them." We're not saved by good works, but we are saved to do good works. Amen? And to let folks see what Christ can truly do to somebody's life. So I want to encourage you tonight, don't give up, don't quit, don't compromise. Trust the Lord and do good, because the God that saved you has said he will keep you. He will be with you. He will walk with you. In the darkest night, he will be there. In the brightest daylight, he will be there. And he will strengthen you in all these things. Trust in the Lord. And look at that word in all caps. The Lord, L-O-R-D. It means put your faith and trust in the eternal, self-existent one. The one that's always been there, always will be there. He's your friend, that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the one that changes not. Amen? While all the world around us changes and all the things around us change, people change, people compromise, people just do whatever they want to do to please other people. But Jesus never changes. Amen? And he's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we as God's children have been given a command to fret not, to trust the Lord, our eternal God, and to do good so that the world will know that we have been with Jesus. We've been commanded these things. But second, I want you to see this. I want you to see it not only has he given us some commandments, but he's given us some promises. Some promises. Look at this. Psalm chapter 37, verse 3. The last part of that verse, he said, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily, that means truly, without a doubt, thou shalt be fed. All throughout the Old Testament scriptures, all throughout the time that we see the children of Israel being brought out of Pharaoh's bondage, God brought them through the wilderness to promise, he promised them to take them into a new and promised land. And all you ever read about these children of Israel is complaining and backbiting and murmuring and griping before the Lord and before God's men. They were worried about where they're going to stay, where we're going to camp tonight, what are we going to eat, where are we going to find anything to drink. Oh God, why don't you just let us go back to Egypt and die? And you know what? They complained and did everything that they could against God. Now let me ask you something. Do we ever do that? Do we find ourselves doing that sometimes? I think we do. I think we do. And you know what? We're no different than they were. We're no different. But God led them in the ways that he led them so that these people would learn to trust him. Amen. And folks, listen to me tonight. I don't understand all the things that we have to go through sometimes. I don't understand the hardships and the heartaches that we go through. But God leads us through these periods of time so that we can learn to trust him. Amen. And in our trust, we love him enough to simply obey him and do what he said do. I want you to look at this. God supplied all their needs, did he not? Everything he supplied for them. When the sun was too hot above their heads, God gave them a pillar of cloud by day to take care of that heat and dissipate it and protect them from the heat of the sun. When it was too cold at night, that cloud by day turned into a pillar of fire by night that kept them warm, kept the wild animals away from them. It led them in the darkness of the wilderness. What a great God. And you know what? Even when Pharaoh and all of his soldiers and all of his chariots came out from Egypt chasing them down, and they ran them right up to the edge of the Red Sea so they had no place to go and no one to turn to help them except for their God and great deliverer. You know what God did? God turned that cloud around and he went back and stood between them. Between his chosen people and the enemies of his chosen people. And to the armies of Pharaoh, there was lightning and darkness and all kinds of stuff to put fear in their hearts and souls. But on the other side, there was light and protection so that God could just blow with a mighty east wind and separate and part the waters and dry the ground. Listen, I believe when those children of Israel went through the Red Sea, they were kicking up dust. Amen? There was no mud. They weren't knee-deep in anything. It wasn't the Reed Sea that they went through. It was only ankle-deep. The Bible said they went through on dry ground. And guess what? For close to 1 million, 2 million people that went through that great pathway carved out by the breath of God, God said, you guys go on, trust me. I'll take care of these boys back here. Don't worry about that. I got you covered. And they walked through on dry ground. It took them all night to get through. And guess what? When they got to the other side, God told Moses, he said, you tell the people to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And when those great and mighty chariots took off from the other side, God lifted that veil of protection from his children. And he let the enemy come through. And all the children are screaming. They're saying, oh, no, they're coming to get us. They're coming to get us. I told you we should have just stayed back there and died. And Moses is standing there with his staff over that water. And he said, you just stand still a minute and see the salvation of the Lord. And the enemy gets out in the middle of no man's land, in the middle of that dry ground. The water is standing up beside them on both sides. The Bible said it was congealed. That means it looked like jello, all right? Congealed. It stood there erect. And while they're passing through on dry ground, thinking they're going to go and get God's people, what does God do? He just lets it go. And he wipes them all out. And he destroys the enemy. And the people of God see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Folks, that is what God wants to do for us. Listen, we've got to learn to trust him. They not only saw through the Red Sea the salvation of God, but they saw their deliverance from the enemies of God's people. Folks, listen, God's people have some enemies in this world today. But you and I still have to be faithful. Let God do his great work. Let God do what God wants to do. And then God saw them through the Red Sea, and he took care of their needs through the wilderness. He took care of their food, their water, everything. He provided them shoes and clothes that never wore out. Well, I wish I'd lived back then. My wife wouldn't have had to buy another pair of shoes or another dress or anything. Man, think about that. Guys, we could have saved a lot of money living back in those days. Amen. God supplied their every need. He provided those shoes that didn't wear out, the clothes that didn't wear out. And just as he promised them, he brought them into a land filled with all good things. He did what he said he would do. Why? Because he's the God of promises. Amen. Amen. And God keeps his promises. He gave them houses that they didn't even have to build themselves. Cities that were built, vineyards and olive trees that were already planted and ready to harvest and eat of that they did nothing for, wells that were already dug, which provided the cool water for their thirsty lips. He gave them great and goodly cities ready for them to live in, a land of milk and honey just flowing with it all. And it was theirs to claim as their own if they would just go and do what God said do. You see, God promised that he would provide for all their needs. He promised that. And folks, that's where we have to learn to trust God. Don't fret. Don't worry about everything. Don't have a little hissy fit. Is that something y'all are familiar with up here, a hissy fit? That's what we talked about down south. Just don't go and have a hissy fit, okay? You're just going crazy, all right? Don't do that. Trust the Lord. He's going to provide for our needs. Listen, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6. I don't know if you got this underlined, but I've got this underlined in my Bible. He said in Matthew chapter 26, verses 25 through 33, he said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Here's what he said. He said, but you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things shall be added unto you. We're not only commanded to trust him and to obey him, but we have his promise that he will supply our every need. I stand amazed to see how God supplies the need here at this church for everything. And we think to ourselves, oh God, we're not going to be able to make this budget or that budget or whatever else. But we forget that this is not our ministry. This is his ministry. And God has promised us that he's going to take care of that. If we will continue to do what we're supposed to do, God will bless and he'll take care of things. And that's why we come to point number three, the responsibility that we have as his dear children. Now God says to his children, now that you know my command, and now that you have heard my promise, here is what I expect of you. And he gives us some responsibilities here in this chapter to perform for him. From a grateful heart, from a loving heart, from a trusting heart, he gives us these responsibilities. Look at it here in verse number 4. Responsibility number 1, Psalm 37, 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. In other words, do what you do for the Lord simply because you love him enough to do it. Amen? Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord. I watched this, Brother Charles. He played with trains this week, okay? All right? He drove the train around for some of the kids. And I don't know who was having a better time, him or the kids. I don't know. He looked like a little conductor there and an engineer on that little train. And man, just driving those kids around. But you know what? He was delighting himself in the Lord. I saw Pastor Josh over here on some of this stuff. You acted like you were delighting yourself in the Lord. You know what? He was having a good time. I don't know who had the most time, the teens or him. Now, was it a hard week? Yeah, it was a hard week. But what he did because he delighted himself in the Lord. Amen. And folks, what we do is to delight ourselves in the Lord. And look at this. What is the promise? The command is, delight yourself also in the Lord. Look at what the promise is. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Let me ask you something tonight. What is the desire of your heart? Is it to please the Lord? Is it to bring glory and honor to his name? If you want to be able to do that, then delight yourself in whatever you do for the Lord. Responsibility number 2. Commitment unto the Lord, which also takes into consideration trusting in him. This is responsibility 2 and 3. Look at it. Verse number 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And look at the promise. And he shall bring it to pass. Amen. He shall bring it to pass. I've told folks many times, there is a difference between commitment and simple involvement. Listen, when you have breakfast in the morning, the chicken is involved in laying an egg so that you can have some scrambled eggs for breakfast. But the pig is committed, amen? He's committed with the bacon and the sausage, all right? Listen, he's committed. And which one are you today? Are you just involved or are you committed today, all right? Listen, we need to make up our mind which one we're going to be. I'm going to be the little pig that commits himself. Amen. I want to be committed to my Savior. Listen, you ask yourself, but preacher, how can I do this when all the world around me seems like it's going to hell in a basket? All the world around me is just going crazy. And it seemed like everybody is just in turmoil. And they're trying to get me the same way. Look at verse number 7. We see the confidence that we have in God's promises. When he says unto us, rest in the Lord. And look what he said. And wait patiently for him. That word rest means to cease from all of your own labors. Give it to God. Put it in his hands. Trust him to do what he said he would do. Listen, when David stood before Goliath, he knew that Saul's armor would not help him. It would only be a hindrance to him. Listen, he knew that there was nothing that he could do in himself to win this battle. But he rested in the Lord. And he did what God said do. And look at verse 8, where God said, cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You know what? The things around you today, if you're not careful, child of God, you'll get angry. And you know what? If you're not careful, if we're not careful, we will become just like the world. We'll be angry. We'll be frustrated. We'll be agitated. And what God says here is, you cease from that anger. Turn away from it. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. It's not your job. It's not my job to get even. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And God does such a better job at it than we could ever do. Trust the Lord. You say, preacher, how do you know God will do that? Look at verse number 9. The Bible said, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Wait on God, folks. Trust the Lord to do what he said he's going to do. Listen, we don't understand everything that's happening around us today. But God knows. Our job is to trust the Lord. Don't become like the world. Don't fret and worry and just go crazy. Look what he said. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Why? Because those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. As we close the service tonight, I want you to consider verse number 25 in this chapter. I can relate to this verse. David says, I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What does that mean? It means God will take care of us. God will take care of your need if you'll simply trust him. You ought to read the rest of this chapter. My goodness. He closes this chapter out, verse 34 through 40. Wait on the Lord. Keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. And when the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright. For the end of that man is what? Peace. It's not fretting. It's not worrying. It's not saying, well, God, I don't know if you're in control of this or not. I don't know if you can handle this or not. No, the end of that man is peace. But look what he said. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Because they trust in him. Amen. Tonight, if I could give you anything, I would tell you this. Fret not, but trust the Lord. He's in control, folks. He's in control. Listen, our God is not going to leave us in the middle of this battle. He's going to take care of it. Our job is to be found faithful. Somebody said, well, only reason you bring those kids into church because you want a big church. No, that's not why we do what we do. Our job is to be faithful, to take the gospel to those who need it. And then it's God's job to build His church. Let's trust Him tonight to do exactly that. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, but commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Let's pray just a minute. Father, Lord, I love you tonight. And Lord, I wanted to be a help to your people tonight. I see the things, our news, I see the things that come through, and I hear the people that talk, and they worry, and they think, preacher, are we going to make it through this? Are we living in the tribulation time? Lord, God, help us to understand that you've got everything in control. Lord, you are the one that will see us through. What we've got to do tonight is be willing to put our faith and trust in you. And Lord, if there be someone tonight that's not saved, I pray, God, that tonight they would be willing to put their faith and trust in you. It's for sure, Lord, the world's got nothing for them. But God, help them tonight to trust you. And help us, Lord, as your dear children, to be willing to put you first in all that we do, to trust and to obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And God will thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.